welcome to another Dev Workshop podcast. This is number 4. I'm your host, Todd Shelton, with co-host. We've changed up a little bit today. Co-host is now Scott Williams.
Hello.
So Travis couldn't be here tonight. We were trying to get all of us in here. All those guys you always hear us mention that we never see or hear, you know, whatever, and all the other podcasts. But Scott was able to join us tonight, which we're glad. So, Scott, before we go any further, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am a back-end PHP developer at a company called Scubaba.com. Do a little bit of everything, design and back-end, front-end.
Yeah, okay. And it's kind of a new startup, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. That's probably a lot of work. And, you know, coming from a new startup, this is probably going to let you – it's one of our topics tonight is freelance. So, I mean, so usually a lot of startups come from freelance people.
Yeah.
So might be a good topic. Might be something good for you. Can we also say this might be a good Thanksgiving podcast?
Yeah.
Well, it is Thanksgiving week.
It is.
Yeah. Don't expect to hear anything about Thanksgiving in this podcast. we might not even mention turkey at all.
Mm.
Nothing at all. Mm. So anyway, so we have some sponsors. Last week we got out of the ordinary sponsors first, but today we're going to go ahead and cover those. So we want to say thank you to our sponsor, The Basement. Okay, The Basement is a digital design studio that builds tailored user experiences across desktops, mobile, and TV. They're headquartered in Indianapolis, and The Basement delivers multi-channel digital projects for some of the world's top agencies and brands. I still amaze myself sometimes that I can read that and not ever mess up. The second one is BAM, which is Bradley and Montgomery. BAM, Bradley Montgomery, and an innovative agency doing the smart, weird, and amazing for some of the country's biggest brands. You can find them on the web at BAMideas.com. So you guys all heard us talk with Alex a while back, and he works with BAM. So check it out. So we're kind of winging it tonight a little bit with these news topics.
A little bit.
Yeah. So they might be a little brief. I don't know. Yeah. If I can get Scott talking, we'll be good. And usually he's more chatty than Travis. So Scott, you brought this first one up.
Yeah.
Snapchat.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit. I barely text.
Yeah.
No, I text a lot. But tell us a little bit about Snapchat.
It's supposedly kind of like the next step past Twitter, but for photos. You can send photos and videos to anybody that you've listed as a contact, and I believe that they can even send them to you if you haven't added them, except they disappear once they're gone, and they set a little timer for how long you can see them, and then once they're gone, they're gone. And that's pretty much it. The app only has like 3 panes. It's about one of the simplest apps I've ever seen. All you can do is take these videos and picture and doodle on them or add some text. That's pretty much it. You broadcast them out and then they're gone. Supposedly the idea is that if you try to screen capture them, mm-hmm. it'll actually warn the person that sent it that you tried to take a picture of it, and it's supposed to come out black. But I don't know if that works. I think it's part of the fear is keeping people from doing it.
But, yeah.
The real interesting news is that it's kind of a new app. I think it's only been around for, I don't know, maybe less than a year. But their user base just jumped from like a few hundred people early in the year to a few hundred million by September of this year.
Wow.
And that got the attention of a lot of bigger companies, including Facebook, who reportedly offered them $1 billion and was turned down by the owner. I think he's like 23 or 25.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a 23-year-old turned down $1 billion and then was later offered $3 billion, which was also turned down. He thinks that he can get upwards of 4 from other private investors or someone else. I don't know. I think he's getting greedy. I think it'll probably blow over.
Yeah.
They're kind of counting on Facebook realizing that they're losing their stakeholding with with teens. This is very attractive for teens.
Yeah.
It's been labeled like the sexting app.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, there's probably a lot of dirty pictures being thrown around. And that, cheating. Just think about cheating spouses, everything else.
And as student or as teachers and other faculty members become more tech savvy, they're finding ways to catch students doing things, either cheating or anything really. So the zero paper trail that this offers is very attractive to a group of people who normally just don't want adults knowing what they're doing.
Yeah.
And Facebook's kind of pushed into that realm as they enter ubiquity with everyone. You know, now their goal for so long was to get everybody on Facebook and to track everything. And then apparently forgot that teens don't want to be tracked.
Hey, I don't even want to be tracked and I'm not a teen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, $3 billion, who would turn that down? This guy's got to be crazy.
It kind of sounds that way. If it was me, I would probably have taken it.
Yeah, me too. I think I would have been living on a beach right now.
Okay, I read at one point that they had tried to make their own kind of messaging thing or something comparable, but it didn't really go anywhere. So that's why they're trying to snatch up popular things with teens.
Yeah,
I don't know. They're so finicky to begin with. I don't know if it's worth putting that sort of money into something that is likely to become last week's potato salad.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. And, so Facebook bought Instagram, right, for $1 billion. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if they could take that platform and since Snap, I wonder if they were going to try to include that in with Instagram somehow or leave it as a separate entity.
Instagram already kind of strategically limits the amount of things you can do in terms of networking. You can't repost stuff automatically. You can't, there's really no way to publicize yourself on Instagram outside of telling people what your name is.
Right.
Or getting into some sort of like news feed. I don't know. It's interesting. Yeah. They did just start doing advertising on Instagram. I noticed that started popping up. I had a Ben and Jerry's post and I was like, wait, I don't follow Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah, what the heck?
I wasn't that mad.
Maybe they just knew you wanted ice cream.
That is true. I do want ice cream.
Chunky chocolate or whatever, your Rocky or whatever Ben and Jerry's got. so we can both agree the guy's nuts for turning down $3
billion. Yeah.
Yeah, we got to go with that one. I'm pretty sure most of the users out there are probably going to be like, yeah, nuts. Yeah,
should have taken it.
Yeah. I don't know what the heck he was thinking about. He'll wake up one day and realize, man, I should have taken it.
When he's sleeping on a sofa or...
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Hey, buddy, can I use your couch? All right, moving on to the next story. So this one's just off the wall. I mean, I just grabbed this post right out of the CNET news. And actually, it's about the Google camera. So Google's rebuilds the Android camera for better photos. So one thing that it's going to have is a burst mode.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that'd be nice. I mean, Android camera users really haven't had that, I don't think.
No, I think iOS just added the burst mode.
Yeah, which is really kind of cool. So if they can get this technology built into their Google Glasses, that'd really be cool. Mm. You know, Google Glass.
Is that still like a thing?
Google Glass.
I haven't really kept up with that.
Yeah.
I felt like there was some backlash.
There was, but I think there, you know, a lot
people
of
people are getting over it.
Yeah.
I walk around some offices and they said, like, no Google Glass.
Yeah.
Like, don't use it in here.
A lot of people have already outlawed those.
Outlawed?
Yeah.
Like, literally outlawed?
Literally outlawed them.
Where?
There's some states actually, like, have said you can't use them in certain areas. You know, I've already put laws.
Because,
like, think about wearing those in, like, a locker room or something. You know what I mean? Gym. People are just nuts. They'll do it.
That's creepy.
Yeah. I think that happened to me in a gym one day. I don't know. I stroke a pose and I think he took off running. I'm not sure. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see if it shows up on the internet.
I'm not going to go looking for it.
Yeah. I'm not either. I'll just figure out to let somebody tell me. Anyway, so one of the things, so like, does burst photography, but then, you know, and it can take up to 5 shots and combine them into one single shot, and you get a better range of the tone of the color and everything. So
combines them later. It does the bracketing for you and then combines them in something like an HDR.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, for a good quality shot, I know iOS did some of this stuff, but for Android to be moving this in direction, it's probably kind of cool.
Yeah. It never seemed like they really did a lot on their own to bring in these sorts of features.
Yeah.
It apparently also does some sort of image stabilization by finding the most stable of the five photos as well, the sharpest one.
Yeah.
Which is also kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, all that's really cool. And they are going to have an API for this for developers. So yeah, this could be something for you could, you know, that you could add in your app. I don't know what you'd do with it.
Tap into it yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, people will find something crazy.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah. It could be probably a lot of things actually, but you know, just something to think about.
I was always amazed at what people did without that. Before there was Burst, there were apps that actually took video and then just sampled every few frames.
Really?
And that was their way of getting...
The Burst?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Burst or even Slow-Mo or something. It just took the video and cut some images out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I didn't even know they did that.
Yeah.
But that makes sense. Okay, we're going to move on. This is something outside of the realm of like kind of tech, but I always try to throw those in there. Just some of us never get outside, so we don't see what's going on. So Time Warner and Comcast are thinking of merging, or really, I think Time Warner is thinking about buying Comcast.
Hmm.
Yeah, so kind of, I don't know. I mean, not something we really think about on a day-to-day, but when you talk about monopoly, you know, in the industry, I mean, these are the two biggest.
And they actually, you know, they own a lot of other things that people don't think of.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. I think so. Right now, in the article that was on CNET, as you know, they're talking about how Comcast is literally buying up smaller communication companies to do regional parts, and then taking that, and that way they have the market in those areas. Mm-hmm. And you figure if they're doing that, and then merge with Time Warner, who's probably doing the exact same thing, not to mention whatever else they have their hands into.
A lot.
Yeah. You know, what would that do? And the reason why I kind of bring this up is because they're actually saying that it'll raise a few eyebrows up in D.C., but they're saying it might have a chance to go through.
I certainly hope not. We already have a horrible, horrible service for what we pay.
Yeah.
And it just seems to get worse whenever something like this happens. Same thing with airlines, and I realize the cost of doing business goes up over time, and it's not cheap maintaining all this network, but it's just the way they do business seems never to be in our favor.
Yeah. I mean, especially when you think about what Comcast did, and maybe, you know, I felt it more because, you know, we live in Indiana, but Comcast at one point in time blocked – you know, since they were running the broadband and your internet, they blocked 360 watch from ESPN. So you could not watch ESPN on your tablet or through the internet unless you had subscribed to the channel.
Was that before the, what was that? The internet neutrality thing?
That may have been. Yeah, it's been probably 2006 or 7.
Mm. So that was exactly the sort of thing they were trying to prevent. It was always under this guise of, oh, well, you know, if someone's using up all the bandwidth trying to get to these specific services like Netflix, we should be able to limit them. Well, the way that you write that law allows you to do a lot of other things, right, like block competitors. It's scary business if people have a little bit more say in how these things are run.
But now if that's not going to be the case. One giant company would have to say, which could literally push all little people out because they couldn't afford it, and they couldn't probably afford the bandwidth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So these companies right here can literally lay fiber optics everywhere. Of course, out
they probably
of my
wouldn't
house.
Even bother with that. They probably just keep you on the same old crap forever.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Oh, I am. I'm definitely. I can't even get these.
I can't. I have no other options right now. Even AT&T, they run their broadband through the coax, so I don't even have that option because Bright House owns all the coax.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I live in a little area where they have a little old communication, little company, doesn't even hardly charge out the butt for it, you know. And then we don't even get over 5 meg, you know, but Comcast won't come into there because they say they won't buy them up.
Mm.
I'm just thinking, that's just because you don't want that little bitty town. For me,
I guess I could probably do satellite, but I've just never had really good luck with satellite.
Nah.
Just kind of cuts out.
Yeah. I wouldn't do it.
I'm just waiting for Google to come in and just embrace the Googlepocalypse.
I'm waiting for Google. Yeah. I don't know. We were just talking about that the other day about, you know, some other towns that are really shocking, like Indianapolis was in the top 10 of tech cities. Upcoming start tech cities.
Really?
Yeah. I'll have to get that website and post it out there. But yeah, it's kind of amazed me. So I can't believe we made it in the top 10.
Top 10?
Yeah. Some guy tried to tell me the other day, Idaho.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure a lot of people don't realize that Indiana has a lot of tech.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we're here.
We have Exact Target. We have, there's us.
Yeah.
We have a lot of schools, though.
Yeah, we do have a lot of schools, a lot of big schools.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and we have a supercomputer. That's always nice.
We do.
yeah. I like supercomputers, even though I don't use it like I should, probably.
Do you have access to that?
We can, if we want it.
Can I?
Well, no. Yeah. Hey, we could get you on, but we'd have to kill you after you used it. Yeah. So, yeah, unfortunately, listeners, don't try to apply for that.
Todd will kill you.
That's right. Hey, easy now. That's probably somebody just literally, there's a lawsuit out there right now. All right, so this one of these were, actually, both of these were Travis's topics.
Yeah, and then the bum didn't show up.
Yeah, what the heck? I think he's watching a movie. Travis, if you're listening to this, I hope you're just having a ball watching Doctor Who.
It better be Hunger Games.
No.
Is it Doctor Who? There's a movie?
Well, I think it's over the 50th, isn't it the 50th anniversary or something?
Is it like a live stream to all the theaters or something?
No, I don't think so.
It's a movie.
It's like a 3D.
What?
Yeah, I have to figure it out. This? I'm not a doctor. I watched the first two seasons and then got busy. Yeah, I just couldn't get into it.
Yeah. I like him. I'm just not a fanatic.
Yeah, I think they had something.
He's like a superhero. He's just Doctor bonkers. Who? Yeah, they just make up a new ending. They're like, well, how'd he get out of this one? No, he just bent time.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He can do that.
Well, he can do anything, really. Yeah. He's like Superman.
Yeah, that's why they change him all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what, I think, last Saturday, was it? They had they streamed at 2:50 here, Eastern time, and they streamed it across the world, really, so everybody could watch at the same time.
Hmm.
Doctor Who's 50th
that's
something.
Cool.
Yeah.
You ever seen Riff Tracks?
No.
They do that too.
What is it?
You remember Mystery Science Theater 3000?
Oh, yeah.
They do that now, but they're called Riff Tracks, but they do them with new movies. Well, they do them every 6 months. They do one live from Los Angeles, and they'll play it around theaters.
Oh, that's cool.
They did one last year called Birdemic. It was a terrible movie, but it was really, really funny.
Birdemic?
Yeah, Birdemic. It's an awful film.
I have to find out what the heck that is. All right, so. Yeah, enough Travis bashing, I guess. Just kidding, Travis. If you're listening to this, don't take anything to heart. Well, you know. One of the topics was app development, and is the market flooded?
Yeah. I mean, every time that they have one of those Apple keynotes, they talk about how many apps they have. And, I mean, it is good that they have a lot of apps, but at the same time, how do you make a new one and get noticed in any way? I mean, you can't do it through their little interface. It's just impossible.
Yeah. I would say the markets are flooded and the time to make money at them is gone and past.
Yeah.
But I think there's room, you know, more apps. I think that's the way everything. I think TV apps are coming up. So not just let's get outside the kind of the iOS and Android, you know, a lot of TVs are coming up with their own app stores,
That's true.
LG, Samsung. I mean, you know, I have a channel up on Roku.
It's kind of like .com really. I mean, just there's a limit on how many you can make. So they open up new ones and they got .net and .co, that, you know, all sorts of other stuff.
Yeah.
Eventually there's just too many and you need to make another market.
Yeah. And so, but one thing that I feel about, and this kind of goes away from being the flooded market, is if you make a good enough app, you could tie them all together. So, you know, like take, for instance, Spotify. Mm-hmm. So I got Spotify on my phone, on Roku, I got it on my computer, I got it, you know. Man, I mean, they've literally, same with Pandora, a lot of others.
You're not selling an app, you're selling a service.
Exactly.
And it just happens to be available in all these different app stores.
So that's where I'm going to say the app development market is probably flooded, mm-hmm. but if you have a good enough service, your app would work in any market.
So you're down to software as a service and the applications are just the host for that service.
They're literally, just the
vessel.
The vessel that drives it. I mean, that's about anything unless you're playing games. And I mean, I think that's one of the biggest things out there is games.
Yeah. Well, that number might be inflated just through knockoffs and one shots. I mean, if you just search, if you do any search and you go past like the first 10 of the ones that are probably what you really wanted,
right?
It's just like 1,000 of them. Just look for any photo app.
Yeah.
There's just like 1,000,000 of them.
Yeah.
And I don't know what they think they're doing because there's really nothing new about any of them.
Right.
I mean, have you seen? I went to find one of those time lapse ones that did what I was talking about, that did video and then cut out some slices. There's just hundreds of them. And I have no idea what would separate any one from the other. They must just be hoping to get enough users to drive their ads. I don't know.
I mean, it could. Yeah, I mean. Ooh. I think it's just developers that think they can do a better job, you know,
I guess,
over this other one. Or maybe they just, you know, they Facebook a lot and have a lot of followers and people just get their app. That's how they become number one.
I mean, I've talked to people that say things like that, the kind of thing where you always hear in as a joke where they're like, oh, I got this great app idea. It's going to do this. It's going to be able to connect my people with dogs. And you're just like, what?
Yeah.
Why would you? Who needs that? And then they think it's the best thing in the world. And you're like, okay, I guess. Yeah, sure. I mean,
how much are you going to charge for it? $25. Yeah. So, sorry about that. Scott just lost his leg.
My prosthetic leg fell off. Yeah, I don't know. I've even sat in on some startup type things where the ideas are, I mean, they're okay, but is that really something that people are going to pay for? I don't know.
Yeah.
The ones that really seem to catch my eye, I guess, are just the ones that people have told me about, or if it's newsworthy. I guess I don't really seek out a lot of news about tech stuff, and if it manages to find its way to me, then that must mean something. Like Mailbox.
Mm-hmm.
It's just another Mailbox app, but
it works.
It works really well. And they even had like hundreds of thousands of people waiting in line for this app.
Right.
So I guess that's it. It's just kind of, maybe it's just a make it or break it thing now.
Well, I mean, who knows? I mean, so we talk about different app stores. So you got iOS, you got Android. I mean, Amazon's got one.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, you talk about different places to put these, and different markets are different. So, you know, like Amazon, they're definitely closer to an iOS app store than Android. I mean, Android, you can put anything up and they'll just take it, you know, but Amazon,
they regulate.
Yeah, they rarely check their code. Mm. I knew one developer that didn't. He made an app, put it up, got it rejected, needed to fix a bug, literally fixed the bug, sent it out for testing. Did it, didn't have time for any more testing, so he sent it back to Amazon to do user testing with them. And they literally called him out. I mean, told him what level and where at and what to do.
Can't get past level 4.
Yeah. Okay, that's it. What's wrong? Yeah, there's a bug.
How do they afford to pay people to do that? To test all these things.
Probably just, can you imagine how many people out there? Probably just like beta gamers, you know what I mean? That
they just pay people to just kind of.
Yeah. I mean,
play through broken games.
Yeah. All those game companies that just play. Yeah. Hey, we need some people to beta test these games.
People always think that's a great job. That is not a great job.
No.
It's a terrible job.
Yeah.
First thing, with like the guy that makes strategy guides. People always think that would be a great thing.
No.
No. It's the worst job in the world.
Anytime they say, I'll be like, what? This sounds too good to be true. What do I have to do? And they go, well, when you have to write. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well.
You have to write. And then you got to go in and you got to take screenshots with all the special software. You spend like 3 weeks playing the exact same game for 16 hours a day to meet deadline.
Yeah.
I read an article on that once. I think it was an EGM.
Yeah.
Like, it was like detailing this guy's life. I mean, people don't realize how many of those are written by the same like three people, but he's like, it's not as fun as it sounds.
No, it can't be.
You end up hating it.
Yeah.
Hating games. So, I mean, if you love doing it, don't do it for money.
Yeah. It'd ruin your gameplay. I mean, like your social game. You know, you probably wouldn't want to play.
Nobody won't play with you anyway.
So, all right. So, back to the market being flooded. I always tell a lot of people, like, think of one market that's not flooded. And I would think, now, it's not a very big market. BlackBerry.
Yeah.
Now, I know they just went through a bunch of crap, you know, being sold, being bought. You know what I mean? And
got rid of all their up and ups.
Yeah, got rid of all their
COO, CFO, CMO.
Poor guys.
Yeah. Did they leave or would they let go?
I don't know. I'm going to say they're probably, that was probably all in the deal of them being bought.
A negotiated firing.
Yeah. I don't feel sorry for a lot of those guys because they probably have a big golden umbrella package.
Probably have a big golden car.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, really. More than I'll ever have.
Yeah.
But if you think about the app market for BlackBerry and think about who uses BlackBerry. So the market is relatively small compared to the other markets.
Yeah.
And small people buying them. But we all know that people buy iOS apps. I mean, iOS users buy apps. It's been proven. Android users do not buy apps. They just want it free.
Yep.
Okay. So, but the BlackBerry market is the closer to the iOS. And the reason why is because a lot of them are business people that use those phones.
They still held on to that.
Yeah. And a lot of that market is, when you think about a business, they want business apps, though.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they don't. Now, they have games. Don't get me wrong, in the App Store. It's all good thing. But I would, this is just me thinking, I would think that more of a business app would probably make you more money in that market.
Well, there are so many good business softwares these days that are going online. I mean, it'd be kind of interesting to see what they do in terms of tying them together. If you had some sort of, like, I don't know, QuickBooks or other financial software that ties into it.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's something there.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, that's a thing you got to. Yeah, who knows? I mean, making it in PhoneGap, I mean, you know, development, they, you know, you can make a BlackBerry with that. And I think Air that runs on Flash or Flex can go to Android now. So, or BlackBerry, I'm sorry. And, you know, so there's a lot of ways to produce BlackBerry apps.
What's their native?
I think it's Java, actually.
Hmm.
I think. Don't quote me on that. Yeah. Shows you how much I know about the market.
Mm.
Don't listen to me about the market.
Well, it's all new, isn't it? They just released their new platform, their OS.
Their newest. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, I think
earlier this year.
Yeah. So like Microsoft, the Microsoft apps, I think you can actually write HTML and JavaScript apps native with Microsoft.
Are we going to quote you on that too?
Yeah. Quote me on that one, actually. The last one, the last podcast, me and Travis talked about that.
Huh.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
That is interesting.
So, and actually, at our last dev workshop meetup, we talked about that too. One of the other developers in there was talking about the native code, how Microsoft's moving to that HTML and JavaScript being native, which would be kind of cool to write an app because anybody. Now, excuse me, thinking about this in a way of developers for the app stores. Objective-C. A lot of people don't write it. I mean, you know, in a sense of just being able to, hey, I want to write an app today, da-da-da, you know, and go out and do it. I mean, you got to learn how to write Objective-C.
It's a bit of investment.
Yeah. HTML, JavaScript, shit, people write that all the time. You know what I mean? I open up Dreamweaver and you can write that. So if they really make a native app built on top of that code, it could hurt the app market for them. I mean, because they might end up with a bunch of junky apps.
GeoCities apps.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Can you imagine that? GeoCity out there.
Animated for GIF fire and sparkly lips and things, some GIFs there.
That just makes me want to open up my old Facebook page or my MySpace page. Yeah, MySpace was so great.
Just a bunch of great GIFs.
Oh, yeah.
Two Thug and High for Life. And
if it had an MP3 player on it.
Oh, yeah. Auto-playing.
Yes.
Oh, God.
That was awesome.
That was the best. Just when you want to go search for, like, a band, just kind of, like, click on the first few links. One of them starts playing music, and you just got to hunt it down. That was the day.
Oh, yeah. Loved it. yeah, so I think that could probably hurt some of the market, some of the quality, but I think Microsoft's market is hurting so bad.
They're willing to deal with it.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know.
I feel like just the openness that is Android is already possibly a detriment in certain ways, that opening it up any further might be really dangerous in terms of quality.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there are a lot of crappy iOS apps, but on the whole, because of the environment, you don't end up with nearly as terrible experience all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
It's hard to tell. I mean, I do know that, like, Android apps, one thing bad. So I ran into the developer, and he was like, yeah, I put analytics in here in my app and was selling it, and it was doing good. And next thing I know, all of a sudden, I started getting analytics from South America. I was like, mm-hmm. that's weird. What the heck's going on? Turns out that somebody pirated his app.
Mm.
And basically, the APK...
Ripped it open.
Yeah, it's just a zip file. If you change APK to .zip, it'll open. And you can really get all the code, right? So they literally did that and just got his code and forgot to take the analytics out. So he was still getting all the analytics and all the everything for it, but...
They had the analytics in there, but it was coming all in Spanish.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they just changed all the lingo, you know, the language parts to Spanish.
Yeah.
So see,
that wouldn't be so insulting, I guess, if it was a free app that they just reskinned or something or did language on, but if they start making money on it, that's where it's really kind of like, well, yeah. That's not okay.
Yeah. I mean, and that's true. I mean, you really got to watch it. So is the app market flooded? What do we vote?
I don't think I'd call it flooded. I think I'd call it a healthy ecosystem. If you're going to get to the top, you got to be a big monster.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You
got to
be eating fish.
Okay, yes. Yes, so healthy ecosystem.
It's just a rainforest now, and there are plenty of little apps in there.
Yeah.
You really have to do your work to get noticed. You got to be doing work outside of the app store.
Yeah,
one way or another.
Marketing is great. So, you know, recently I've been doing a couple apps for freelance, which is going to be the next topic. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the first thing out of people's mouth is like, how do you want this app made? Do you want it just to be a responsive web app?
Yeah.
Or, you know, I mean, which write once and pretty much show everywhere. Okay. And then, but people still go, no, I want it in the app store.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems to me like the app store brings some sort of recognition.
Yeah, there's a certain amount of vanity of being on the app store.
Yeah. I am on the app store.
Well, there's always the worry, too, that people won't know how to get it.
That's true.
What's funny, though, is people have buttons on their sites leading them to the app store.
Right.
You can just put a button on your site that installs the app.
Right.
There's just a little bit of that old, like... Oh, I'm going to download an EXE. Hopefully it works.
Yeah, exactly.
People are just wary. I've actually installed one app from the internet on my phone, an iOS app, and it wasn't from the App Store.
Really?
I don't know how they did it.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're not supposed to be doing that.
And it worked. But it just feels shady. I mean, I guess Apple's done its marketing correctly then.
Apple's definitely done a good job of locking their money down.
Yeah, it's only getting more that way with the firewall thing they built into the last desktop. They built it in so that if it's not through their app store, it's considered non-secure.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I'm sure it does help provide security, but it also funnels everything through the app store.
Yeah, but I think there's something there you can check off to make sure.
You can, but it's on by default.
Yeah,
and I guarantee a lot of people don't know how to turn that off.
Yeah, that's a good point. But hey, guess what?
I guess with security comes, I mean,
great responsibility.
I think more a little bit more Marxist or something like.
Oh, I was growing. Yeah.
Yes, you can walk the streets at night in Nazi Germany, but you have to deal with being in Nazi Germany.
Yeah, that's a good point. Whatever that meant.
Yeah, it just
Nazi Germany.
You get a lot of security out of it, but you get less freedom.
See, that's probably should have been our topic tonight.
Yeah.
iOS, that's a touchy subject for me. Because they definitely locked her down.
They did. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I don't like all of it.
Good business model.
It's a very good business model. That's the part that kind of scares me.
And people go with it.
Yeah.
I mean, people just like, I got to have Apple. You know what? I just bought this iPhone a month ago. But I'm going to buy the new version that just came out. I'm going to go ahead and spend the extra $600. They'll do it.
Yeah. I mean, I was a PC guy for years. I built probably 3 or 4 computers, but I just got tired of dealing with it.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's better now that you don't have to deal with as much crap, but my mom called me up, said she got a blue screen, and I nearly hung up on her.
Yeah.
I was like,
don't even try.
If I go the rest of my life without ever reinstalling Windows, I'll be happy.
Yeah. That's funny.
I just never want to have to... I just don't ever want to deal with it. I want to take it to them. Here, it broke. Please fix it. And they go, okay.
The blue screen of death. I have it.
It's
overpriced. Saw that today, actually. I just saw the blue screen of death. No, actually, two times in the last 3 days.
Are you working on an XP?
No. I work on a Mac, but today in...
Oh, you had the Max one?
They had... No, just another... Somebody had an XP box, or not an XP, but a Windows box, and goes, hey, take a look at this. Put it around, blue screen. They can have fun with that. But I will tell you, Mac, I've had it show up a couple times where it actually...
Kernel panic?
Yeah. The old... looks like a curtain falling down. You're like, crap.
Curtain?
It looks like it's a gray... shaded out box falls down on the screen.
It's got uh-oh in like 70 languages.
You better restart the computer.
Kernel panic.
But it always comes back. It works after that.
Yeah, so, I've had things break, but nothing's seriously broke.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in the end, it's just a tool. And whatever works best for you is what you need.
Yep.
And for me, web development, Unix to Linux, changeover is a lot easier on this.
Yeah.
A lot of tools on here that work really well for web dev.
Yep.
So
good point.
And this thing was paid for by my company. So,
and that's even better.
Yeah.
That's another good point.
And it doesn't matter how much it costs.
That's true. All right. We'll keep on topic here. We're going to move on. Freelance. Okay. So you know what, Travis? Dang it. Where are you at? This was another one of his topics.
Yeah.
Kind of miss him. Should you freelance or find a real job with a terrible boss? No, wait a minute. Not all jobs have terrible bosses.
Well...
Yeah. Oh, hey.
No, there are lots, though.
Yeah.
You just hear a lot of stories. Even just the other day when I went to the Laravel meetup, I was talking with people, and they were talking about a new boss he got. They took away his Mac, gave him a PC, and I was like, well, what difference did that really make?
Yeah.
Why did you have to do that? Well, everybody else is on them. Like, okay, well, that's great for them.
Yeah.
I was making just fine with this. Like, and then they also, you said, well, we also have to install screen watching software.
Yeah.
It's like, well... My opinion is if you can't trust your employees, then you either need different employees, or if you're the employee and your boss doesn't trust you, then you need to find a different boss. That's just not a relationship that I think is healthy.
Yeah. And it probably isn't. Unfortunately, you get in a big corporate situation.
Yeah. I don't think it was a huge company, though.
Yeah.
I don't remember the name of the company. Even if I did, I probably shouldn't say who it is. But
don't. Well, I'd have bleeped it out. You'd have said it anyway. I would have beep, beep later on in the cut scenes. So freelance, I still do freelance, do a lot of freelance, of course worked in the industry for a lot of years and then came out and I still, freelance is hard.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody markets you.
It's Wild West.
Yeah. I mean, you're on
your own. Everybody looks at it like this golden opportunity.
Yeah.
You could do anything.
Yeah.
And you could, but it doesn't always work out that way.
No. If you have a pimp. That's what I call them, pimps. If you have a good pimp, you know, a freelance pimp. So what is a freelance pimp, you ask yourself? Some of the people out there are like, man, I got a pimp. That stuff's good, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a guy that just basically is your project manager. He just feeds you work all the time.
Does that person do any work themselves, or do they just kind of take off the top and find people to do it?
Basically, they take off the top and find people to do it. So they have like their network of people.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, you being a PHP guy, right? So... he would know, hey, you know what? Scott's my PHP guy. You know, Todd is my, you know, whatever guy. So then when he gets a project, he'll be like, what's this project tech need? Oh, need a PHP? Got it. Scott, you never had to go out and market yourself or nothing. Yeah. This guy just pimps you the work.
It's even better than a recruiter.
It is. A lot better.
They don't call you at work. Mess up your relationship with your boss.
Yeah. And you've already established your wage fee.
Mm.
So the guy automatically knows what you make.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's a good concept. It's, you know, and it's a great way to freelance. So you don't have to market yourself. You can be anywhere you want. This guy literally just feeds you work if you're good. Now, all this is an assumption that you're good.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's a pimp. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you don't have one, man, you're in trouble.
You got to do it yourself.
Yeah.
And you're out there as an independent.
Yeah. And I think that's where networking comes in handy.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking about doing freelance, first thing is get out there and show. First off, you better have a good portfolio.
You gotta have a portfolio. And then, I mean, that's not even considering all the other, you gotta keep your own taxes. You gotta worry about all your own finances and stuff.
Yep.
You can claim part of your living room if you work out of your living room.
You can. And your bathroom. And water. And internet. You can claim it all.
Yeah.
Or a quarter of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you live in a one-bedroom place, I mean, shoot,
it's mostly
you write it all off.
But, you know, I don't know. I've heard some real, I've seen people do really well, and I've seen other people not so well. I mean, it seems like a lot of it's networking. I've seen people that just kind of seem to always have something around the corner.
Yeah.
And then I've seen people always kind of like, well, now what?
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. And there's a lot of work with freelance. So when you work inside a company, normally you have a designer, normally have a copywriter maybe, or a creative artist, yeah. You know, and then you have your developers and you have your project managers, a lot of overhead, but you get people that do the job, you know, of mm-hmm. what that job is. As a freelancer, a lot of times you're the person, man, I got to get this photo edited. Mm-hmm. Well, if you don't know how to run Photoshop or some other photo editing software, you're stuck, right? So, I mean, this is where it becomes an issue of how much extra work do you need, or do you feed your work off
yeah.
to other freelancers?
I probably recommend that.
Yeah, I do.
But then you got to manage all those people. You got their deadlines. And
Unfortunately, yeah. Myself, I know Photoshop pretty well, so yeah. I do a lot of the photo stuff myself. But I don't like doing copy work.
Yeah, it's harder than it looks.
Yeah. I mean, so, yeah, especially.
You start writing, and then all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Comes out sideways. And
yeah. Yeah, exactly. As a freelancer, so, you know, for me, I make the company do their own copy. And then that way they can't blame me for, you know, hey, you messed up my, you mm-hmm. know, about us page. Well, that's what you sent me. You know, so, I mean, you know, these are issues that you always have to deal with. I mean, unfortunately, as a freelancer, you know, it's like, because they're going to try to blame somebody, and
yeah.
you're going to be the one that they blame. So if the more you can put on the company, the better kind of you are as far as getting you assets.
Yeah.
You know, so decide what kind of freelancer you are. You don't want to do everything. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I have kind of a weird background. I have an associate's in design. And I also used to shoot weddings and stuff. I did image toning for a newspaper company for 3 years. So I know my way around Photoshop and Illustrator and everything. The school I got the associates from was pretty technical. So it's like,
yeah,
I can do a lot of things. I just don't want to.
Right. Yeah.
So I kind of like working for, I don't know. I've also worked for big companies. So I see the corporate problems. It's really frustrating. You know, they got you clocking in, clocking out with your fingerprint. They're always over your shoulder. I work for a super small company now, which is really nice, but you're also doing a lot of different things.
Yep.
Kind of like a freelancer, except a little bit more stable. But then as a startup, you never know. I mean, I feel pretty confident, but who knows? Someday maybe it goes under.
Yeah.
A lot of startups do. So it's just, you kind of got to choose your poison, really.
And yeah, and it's tough. I mean, to me, I'd say if you are thinking about being a freelancer, get an accountant right off the bat. You know, take the money that you get paid, unless you're good at it, throw it in an account and let your accountant just either pay you a check.
Can you write off that stuff too, the accountant fees, as a business expense?
I don't know.
I would think so.
Yeah, it depends, probably.
Depends on how much you make, how much you can write off. But
yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot, and plus probably depends on states, you know, so I'm sure different states require a different thing, you know, so like Indiana may be different than Illinois as far as what you can write off state-wise, you know.
As far as the terrible bosses thing, I mean, I've been told by people that no one leaves a job, they leave a boss. And I think that's pretty true.
I don't know.
I've had bad bosses. I've had good bosses. I really like my current boss. He's definitely knows what he wants. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of times it won't be real stressful. But when it's time to get to deadlines, sometimes it can be. So you kind of just have trade-offs. I don't have an aversion to working for someone, though.
Yeah.
As long as you can believe in what they're working for, that's a big part of it for me.
Yeah.
I guess if you're a freelancer and you're okay with jumping around all the time, then that might be something to look at. As long as you're okay with that instability. I knew a guy that self-taught himself programming. Uh-huh. Started out in Flash, moved over to Ruby. Uh-huh. And, you know, He had a nice house, he had a wife and kids up in the suburbs and everything, but that guy worked the craziest hours.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he did microsite after microsite, and just when he got paid real big.
Yeah.
But there would be long stretches in between where he was really kind of...
Didn't do nothing.
Well, no, he was always working, but it was in between payments. So they would pay him at the end, and he had to worry about whether or not he's going to make that mortgage payment.
Right.
High stress, high payoff.
Right. Yeah. That's true.
He would go months and months without any income, but then at the right. end of the, you know, after working for this thing for 4 months, he might get a check for $40,000.
Right.
But then he might not have another check for a while. You just got to keep on it and...
Right.
With a wife and kids, you know, you really gotta worry about stuff.
But you know, you could set that up in a contract as a freelancer of being like, "Oh, I think I'll do, you know, every month that this project goes, you owe me another 10%."
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so he could have probably done something like that.
He was younger at the time. He might do that now. I think he's since started his own company, which might be the kind of end goal is freelance until you can start your own firm or development house.
Yeah.
Hire on one other person, form a partnership even.
Yeah.
Then you don't got to worry about it quite as much.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there's some positives and negatives. I mean, you know, that's a whole nother probably topic of starting your own business. But going back to the boss thing, I don't think I've ever quit a job because of a boss.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, I've always either got along with most of them or, you know, just dealt with them.
Yeah.
You know? The last few jobs I moved to were all just because I wanted, you know, I was a Flash developer for a while and wanted to move to a big corporate application, you know, so I could learn different technology. And
so it was all technology.
Yeah, that was a technology move for me.
Interesting.
Yeah, just because I wanted to learn more of the, you know, when you're talking of an app that has probably 1.1 or 2 million lines of code somewhere around there. I mean, that's a huge app compared to your little... You know, websites that you normally do, web applications.
Hmm.
So a little bit different. I mean, that was my big move. So it's never been because of a boss. But now that I do freelance, I do miss some of that because when you run into a problem, you know, even though you do have some buddies that you can turn to, it's always nice when you're working into an office to be like, man, I really, you know, help me out here. Yeah. What's going on? You know, you get some extra help.
Throw me there. Some SQL magic or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Wish I had those Java back end guys. I'd always just be like, hey, man, run this query for me. I don't know how to do it. Yeah. And their queries would be like 16 line long.
Yeah, so, I end up doing those now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks.
My immediate supervisor is a query guy, and he's got some SQL magic up his sleeves. And I've learned probably the most out of that since I started there.
Nice.
So that's been, I guess that is one thing you kind of miss out of working on your own as a freelancer. You don't have anybody to learn from unless you really go out of your way, go to some meetups or something.
Yeah.
You're kind of an island unless you put an effort into it.
Yeah, you definitely, I mean, you have to get out there. You could literally lock yourself into a realm of being, you know, I'd hate to say like secluse, you know, being a secluded person where you don't learn new technology, you know, you just keep doing, especially if you get work all the time.
Well, that happens a lot just even with big companies.
Yeah.
It's quite the opposite.
I mean, yeah.
We've met people through Dev Workshop that, you know, they worked on onboard systems or something. And then all of a sudden,
well, 10 years later.
Yeah, they don't put those in those cars anymore. Well, now what? So, you know, the fragility is there in both sides, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I could see that. It definitely, it's tough. I mean, one thing about talking to students, it's funny, is a lot of them think of freelance, oh, I'm just going to wake up and sit in my underwear all day and work and make a bunch of money and play games all night. And it's just like, yeah, that sounds great. But when are you going to do all your work? You know what I mean? It's like, man, a lot of these projects, developers will tell you there's people that play games and there's people that make them.
Yep.
And there's a reason why. It's because when you make them, you don't have time to play them, you know? I mean, it takes a lot.
So. Well, it seems like a lot of those freelance jobs are, like, sent out to freelancers because the turnaround needs to be so fast.
Yeah.
And you break your back trying to get this thing done in time.
Yep.
And there's a reason that it pays more. But the reason it has to pay more for you is because you have to collect all your own taxes. You have to pay your own health insurance. Yep. You know, somebody told me once to make it as a freelancer, to make, you know, to make your 50K or whatever, you would have to collect like 80 a year.
If you wanted to have health insurance and everything? Yeah, I'd agree. I'd probably agree with that.
Yeah. So,
you know. But now you don't have to worry about it because you got government health.
You still got to pay for it.
No, I'm just kidding. But you'd still, you know, you're forced to get it.
Yes.
Before you had an option.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but definitely freelance. If you're thinking about doing it, be cautious, get an accountant, you know, make sure you pick the jobs that you can finish. And if you, these would be my tech points, you know, don't take an experimental job if you don't think you can do it.
Yeah.
You know, if you've never built it, make sure your client knows up front. Hey, yeah.
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
I would. It's only something I already know how to do.
Yeah. Well, I was approached by a guy, you know, wanted to make a basically an e-learning game when I took it on, you know, and it's basically moving kind of what you would have done in Flash, and I could have done in Flash in a heartbeat, and moving it all over into a web application, which now with the technology is not too bad, but it's still, you know, a little bit of a learning curve. But I let him know up front, hey, there's a little bit of a learning curve, you know. We'll get it done, but this is what's going to have to happen. And, you know, if you're up front with them, most people are okay with it, you know. But you just got to let them know.
Yeah.
You know, just don't go, oh, I want to do it next month. It'll be ready next month. And then just delay it for the next two or three, you know, trying to learn your stuff. So here's a question. Ethics. So as a freelancer, one of the questions I get a lot is when you are learning the new technologies, are you charging the client? Ethically, what do you think?
For me, I would say no, you shouldn't.
Yeah.
You should already be doing this on your own, but I'm a big proponent of learning all the time anyway.
Right.
I've heard people say if it's a small enough thing, you can sneak it in and do it. I mean, if you're learning how to use a plugin that they ask for or, you know, a plugin like that, that's only going to be a few hours maybe, I guess, but if it's anything like a whole framework,
right,
it's not going to take you enough time that you can't do that.
Right. Oh, yeah. I don't agree with that. I mean, maybe a little bit. There's some people who say, well, charge half and half or something. But,
yeah.
I mean, there's always a learning curve. And I look at all that as like, well, that's just a tool set in your pocket, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, yeah. I mean, you can still, you're going to learn, you're going to charge, you know, for the regular app. But then you can take that technology. Yeah. Move it other places.
It's an investment in yourself.
Yeah.
I guess my only points on freelance or not is just know what you're getting into. Talk to other freelancers in your field. Recognize the financial burdens. And then like anything, really just ease into it.
Yeah.
If you don't have to jump in headlong, don't do it.
Yeah.
Just do a little bit on the side if you can manage.
Yeah.
It's really hard to do. It can be really hard to do a freelance app on top of your regular job. You know, you'll be telling your friends that you can't go hang out because you got a deadline.
But yep.
It'll give you a much better taste for what it means to do that, because you're going to find out real quick that you're also a salesman. I mean, hanging out at the speakeasy, these people run their own businesses.
Yeah.
They are freelancers. And you hear them talk to clients on the phone. It's not the way that we talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
They go into salesman mode.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, it's a whole other thing.
Well, so, you have to, yeah. I mean, you're a PR person, right?
Yeah.
You're everything. I would also, as a freelance guy, I would probably think about, we always mention money, but I would also think about, like, where you're going to work at. So one of the biggest things we have around here is sometimes your home atmosphere isn't the best.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, some people just can't work at home, even though they think they can.
They got roommates or kids.
Yeah. So, you know, reach out and find, like, in our area here, we got a place called the Speakeasy, which is a yearly fee.
It's pretty darn cheap.
Yeah.
I've actually been talking to other people about other co-working spaces, and I didn't realize how expensive they could be. But I guess if you're doing it as a freelance, then you can afford it. Speakeasy is about for profits or a non-student type thing. It's about $500 a year. You get access to the building and all that. The Speakeasy is a little bit different in that it's very community driven. There's always someone right there willing to talk to you about some projects or whatever. There's also in Indianapolis, there's also the Bureau at the Hinge building. That's much more
professional.
Yeah, a little more professional, a little quieter, I think. I don't know if they have quite that same community vibe, but I think that's several hundred dollars a month. I might be wrong, but that's more like Launch Fisher's, which is much more professional. They got better equipment, but it's also, you know, you're going to pay for it.
But it's a little cheaper. It's cheaper than the Speakeasy. If you talk about
per year.
If the Speakeasy went up that price. Excuse me.
I didn't realize Launch Fishers was that cheap.
Yeah, I think it's $400 the first the year for that's wow. The initial, and it's $300 years. Yeah.
There's a place in Denver called Galvanize. That's uh-huh. a mix between a co-working space and a incubator.
Okay.
And yeah. they charge a few $100 a month, but you know it's an incubator.
Yeah.
And they've got really good facilities. They've actually got a few locations, I think, in Denver.
Yeah. There's a couple big companies that are coming out with stuff like that, like. Mm-hmm. Nationwide
mm-hmm.
place. But if you are doing it, I mean, so these are places that you can come out there relatively cheap, someplace you can leave home and go work, you know, and a lot of them have internet connection pretty fast.
Yeah.
You know, they got phones you can use.
Coffee, yeah. sometimes beer.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah. Yeah, most of them do have a little coffee bar, meeting rooms, you know, networking with other people. So, I mean, as the freelancer, I mean, that would be an option just to get away. Get away from your home life. So check those out.
Yeah.
That would be a big plus.
Building a routine is just important. I always remember this one little story I heard about some, I think he's a writer or something, and he has this funny little routine. You picture some guy in the 50s, you know, he's got his little hat and his coat, and he gets all dressed. He goes and he walks around the block every morning
mm-hmm.
with a briefcase and everything. And he comes back to the house and then goes and sits down at his office desk.
Yeah.
And that's his routine. Instead of like commuting anywhere, he would just get up, shower, get dressed, walk around the block. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Maintaining some sort of structure to your life, I think, is pretty important. The guy that I talked about that worked from home and had all those crazy deadlines, you know, he would work until for a whole day.
Right.
And then he would sleep for a whole day. I feel like that's really unhealthy.
Yeah.
It'll get to you eventually.
Yeah. I mean, keep some sort of a work schedule. I mean, you need to have, I mean, of course, even in a work schedule, you're going to stay late at work some nights, you're going to work late, you're going to do this stuff. But yeah, I mean, you need to balance that.
Yeah.
You know, don't think you're going to knock a whole project out. You know, take your time, do it right, you know? So, I mean, freelancing is definitely a good thing.
Yeah.
But
there's always a need for it.
Yes. And you need to take care of yourself and your projects.
Yeah.
Too. So, but yeah, I mean, if you're going to do it, go out and do it.
Yeah.
That's the only way you're going to find out.
Yeah. It's just one of those things you have to try.
Yeah. You may think you might do it just like some people think they might make it in marriage. Did I say that out loud?
Oddly depressing final note.
Yeah. What the heck? So, yeah. Whoa. Yeah.
50% of freelancers don't make it. Is that our statistic?
You know what? I'm going to probably say that might be. That might be. Is that the marriage rate?
Yeah, it's something about 50.
Yeah, that's pretty. That sucks.
Yeah, yeah. Well.
Yeah. But you're probably right. I mean, a lot of people think, oh, I'm strong. I'll manage my money right. Yeah. And then at first, oh, hey, look, I can go to, you know, whatever, some bar or something, buy all my friends a beer, mm-hmm. or head down to Mexico for a week and, you know, Cozumel. Let's go to Cozumel.
Are we talking about freelancers or weddings or marriages?
Either one. They think the same way, right? Yeah. Yeah. No, freelancers.
Go down to Mexico, get into trouble.
Yeah, heck yeah. Now, that's single guys. What are you talking about?
Blow all your money.
Yeah.
And then IRS comes after you.
You know, that's the problem. A lot of people get these big checks. You know, you do a freelance job, you get about $15,000 check right there. Boom. It's like, oh, man, just think. I haven't had a vacation in a while.
Mm-hmm.
They go out and spend about $5,000 of it.
Mm-hmm.
When that $5,000 probably should have been set aside for your taxes.
Yep.
So think about that. Hey, I speak from experience. My first time, when I first started doing it, I owed like $1,300 in taxes my first time I ever did it.
Really?
Which, you know, I was 29.
Yeah.
And I was like, crap. That's a lot of money when you're 20. You know what I mean? You're not making anything. So, we'll wrap that up.
Yeah.
So that's me and Scott's version of the app market and freelance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be careful. Have something good.
Yeah. Have something good. You mean like to eat or?
I'm hungry.
I am too. Man, I might have to stop.
Get what time something. Is it?
Yeah, it's too late.
Yeah.
It's 10. 10 in the morning or 10 in the evening? We don't know.
Ooh.
We like to keep them guessing here on the podcast.
Radio.
As always, I want to do a shout out to the other organizers for the Dev Workshop. We got Travis, which you guys know, and we have Todd Isaacs. And Taha Khan, which was supposed to be here. I haven't heard from him.
Mm. Hope he's okay.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
He's just getting ready for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, he might be. I don't know.
Probably not.
No, I wouldn't think he would be. Yeah. No, hey, you know what? That's a good point. Huh. I think he can eat a turkey.
He could eat a whole turkey.
I imagine he probably could, actually.
We don't say that because he's big. We say that because he's not big.
Yeah, he's not big, but
big appetite.
I've seen him eat like 3 dozen donuts in a weekend.
That's because he's like fasts for a whole week.
That's true.
He doesn't eat anything, and then he eats everything. That's not healthy either. Don't do that.
No, it's not. But yeah, shout out to those guys. They definitely help with the organization for everything. And thanks to Scott coming in. And he's going to be here more with us. So we're going to try to get all the organizers in here talking so we can just ramble and talk all over each other. Well, thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you found some sort of information worthwhile. And hopefully we'll see you again in a couple weeks.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening.